Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, and we're reading some verses from chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're talking to you tonight about getting ready to meet the Lord Jesus. How important it is that we're ready for that great event. Some of us will meet Him through death. Others will meet Him at His coming. Whether we're dead or alive, we will most surely meet the Lord Jesus. How it behooves us to be ready. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us, that's the believers, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. We'll conclude our reading in verse 11, and we know the Lord would bless the public reading. One day the Lord Jesus addressed the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of the Jews. And He addressed those men, and He said to them, and put this question to them, what think ye of Christ? And then another day He said to the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, some said, Elias or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then He came personally and He said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ. I wonder, what does the Lord Jesus mean to you tonight? Isn't it sad that so often we hear His name taken in vain? His name is just a swear word on the lips of many people. I can remember when I was a young Christian. I wasn't long saved. And I was in a shop in the town of Belnahinch. Now that's on your way to Newcastle if you go down the County Down coast. But this was an old-fashioned shop, a grocer's shop. And there was a bar suspended with wire from the ceiling. And all along that bar there was bunches of bananas. There was a man came into the shop and he was wanting bananas, and he thought he would lift them down and take them to the young man who was behind the counter. But he was of small stature. He couldn't reach the bananas. And he took the Lord's name in vain. And he swore and took the lovely name of Jesus upon his lips in a swear word. In the shop that day, there was an evangelist, a man called Victor McManus. Some of you may remember Victor. Victor was a big man, a huge man. He had a tremendous voice. He had a lovely baritone voice. And I can remember him singing in the Ulster Hall without a microphone. He had such volume that he didn't use a microphone when he was singing the gospel. He was a great preacher, an outstanding preacher of the gospel. And he said to that man, he said, you have hurt me. You have grieved me. And he said, you're reaching for those bananas. Let me get the bananas for you. And he reached up and he gave the bananas to the man. He said, you have taken the name of my Savior upon your lips. And he says, you have used His lovely name as a swear word. The young man said, I don't know who Jesus is. And I just use that name all the time. And I remember Victor telling him, you're going to meet Him one day. You're going to meet Him as your Savior or as your judge. We need to know who the Lord Jesus is. Now, if you turn for a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 1, we learn something about this wonderful person. We read here of His eternity, of His identity, of His affinity, of His deity. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice here, we're learning about the Lord Jesus. He was the incarnate Word. He is the Son of God. Matthew tells us about the King. Mark tells us about the servant. And Luke tells us about the Savior. But John tells us here that He is the Son. Verse 14 he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, He's God of very God. He's the Eternal One. He's the Creator of all things. He's the Controller of all things. And beloved, He's the Savior of men. Do you remember that wonderful announcement was made by the angels to the shepherds? The shepherds were watching their sheep, and the message came to them in Luke 2, verse 11. A Savior unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Creator, the Controller, praise God, is the Savior. Isn't it wonderful? And you know, the exciting thing is this, men and women, we're going to meet Him one day. All of us without exception. Doesn't matter what country we're from, what our religious background is, whether we're religious or irreligious. Matters not who we are or what we are. All men, all women, all boys, all girls are going to meet the Lord Jesus. My dear friends, that's a fact. That's a reality. We're all going to meet the Lord Jesus. We're all going to see Him. That's something wonderful, isn't it? That's a fact. But the fact is this, all men are not ready to meet Him. I would venture to say there's someone in the meeting tonight and you're not ready. And our purpose in coming together, our purpose of this meeting is that we would be prepared to meet the Lord Jesus. You see, we're in the day of grace. And we're in the place tonight where we can be prepared to meet Him. Old Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. And we make that preparation by turning from sin and accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. My dear friends, you'll notice it here that it tells us in chapter 1, verse 6, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, if you just turn back to Luke chapter 1, we learn something about the man, and we learn something about his message. Luke chapter 1, there was this man, Zacharias. And he and his dear wife had no family. They were a lovely Christian couple. And the scripture tells us that they feared God. They walked in all the ordinances of God. They were blameless. Luke 1 verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They prayed and God answered their prayer and He gave them a wonderful son. Notice what the angel said in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Notice, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord. Now look at verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, or the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You see, there's God in His great love and His great mercy, and in His providence, He raised up a man, a particular man. And his task, listen, was to prepare a people for His first coming. That was John's minister. That was John's task, to get a people ready for the first coming. But our task, our work, is to get a people ready for the second coming. And that's what our message about tonight, getting men and women ready to meet the Lord. Just let me pause there. Are you ready right now to meet the Lord? Can you put your head on the pillow tonight and say, Lord, if you come tonight, if you come in the morning, I'll go with you. Is that how it is? We need to be ready to meet the Lord. That's our task, to get men and women ready to meet the Lord Jesus. And to help us to be ready and to help us to be prepared, let us turn to that portion of Scripture which we read tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There are four things here tonight which I believe will be for our edification and will help us to be prepared to meet the Lord. You'll notice here in these verses, first of all, that we can expect a surprising day. He's writing to a people that he himself had taught, he had instructed regarding the second coming. He said to these people, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." My dear friends, notice there is a particular day, and for many it will be a surprising day. We can expect a particular day, the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And my dear friends, there are many tonight who really expect the Lord to come. It is a surprising day and will be a surprising day for many. Now the Lord Jesus, as he stood under the shed of the cross 14 times, and 21 times indeed in all, he told them that he would come again. When he ascended to his Father on high, two angels came to the disciples and said, "Ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing here up into heaven? The same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." The Lord Jesus is most certainly coming. My dear friend, that's a fact, that's a reality. Christ is coming again. The Lord Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." The days of Noah were days of apathy. They were days of anarchy. And the people did not expect the flood to come. Old Noah preached. He preached for 120 years. Nobody believed the message. Nobody accepted the message but his immediate family. Noah entered into the ark with his wife, his three sons, and their wives. All the rest perished because they didn't expect the flood to come. You see, when that judgment fell and that flood came, it was a surprising day for them. The Lord Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." They didn't expect judgment. They didn't expect fire and brimstone. And you think of the days of Lot and think of this age in which we live in. Think of how they have made the law, this civil partnership, for this uncleanness, this awful abomination that God hates with a holy hatred. He burned Sodom and Gomorrah. He will burn London. And he will burn all who associate with that awful uncleanness. And you know what we as Christians do? We just smile and we sit back and we let it beam into our living room. And we look upon it as another form and just a form of entertainment. My dear friends, do you see what the Bible is telling us? The Lord Jesus is coming back. It is a surprising day. That day of his return is absolutely certain. Now, it's uncertain regarding the time. You come back in your New Testament for a moment there to Matthew chapter 24. That's the great chapter in the Lord's return. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he tells us here about his return. Notice the uncertainty of the time. Don't you listen to those who tell you that all the prophecies are fulfilled, the hands and God's prophetic clock draw to the midnight hour? There's a sense when all that's right. But no man knows when Christ is coming. Notice what the Lord Jesus said in this chapter and at verse 36. Notice what he says. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Notice here, no man knows. Only, not even the angels know. Notice again on down the chapter at verse 42. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come." Chapter 25, verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I'm saying to the meeting tonight, the coming of the Lord is certain. It's a reality. But the time of his coming is uncertain. The date, the hour, is uncertain. And so, therefore, it will be a surprising day. Listen to that exhortation in chapter 24, verse 40, given by our Lord. "There shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left." Notice here, there were those who were not prepared for the coming of the Lord. we can expect a surprising day. Beloved, there's the certainty of His coming. There is the uncertainty of the time. And it behoves each one of us to be ready. Again, let me ask the meeting. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Our task, the task of this church in Korean, is to get people ready to meet the Lord, whether they meet Him in the air or meet Him through death. They need to be ready to meet the Lord. For all men, all women, all boys, all girls, without exception, are going to meet the Lord. Going to meet Him as their Savior or meet Him as their judge. The story is told of many years ago. A young man was studying law. He had been brought up on a farm. He was well acquainted with horses. He liked working with horses. But one day as he was coming from university, there was a runaway horse. And there was a little gig or trap, and there was a man in the trap. And this law student ran out into the middle of the road, caught the horse by the head, brought him under control. And the young man in the little trap or little gig thanked him profusely for saving his life. The years went past. That young man studied. He qualified as a lawyer, became very successful, was appointed to the bar, and finally became a judge. One day, there was a very sad case. A murder had been committed. A young woman had been attacked and murdered. And very soon, the culprit was found, and the criminal was brought before the courts. The evidence was presented, and the evidence was given, and the jury brought forth their verdict, guilty. And the judge, he pronounced the death penalty on this particular individual. And the prisoner stood up on the dock and he said to the judge, "Sir, don't you remember me?" The judge says, "No, I don't. It wouldn't make any difference if I did." And so the criminal went on to relate how that so many years earlier, that he had been in this particular situation and the judge had saved his life. And the judge said, "Oh, I remember now. That's many years ago. That day, I was your Savior. Today, I am your judge." Men and women, that's the reality of it. I remember one Sunday morning relating that story in our church in Tandragee. A young man went home and thought about it, that he was going to meet the Lord. Meet Him as a Savior or meet Him as a judge. That's how it is. How are you going to meet Him? Your Savior or your judge? And that afternoon, that young man turned from his sin, accepted Jesus Christ. That's some years ago, and ever since he has lived a bright Christian. He is ready to meet the Lord. You see, there is an expect. That we can expect a surprising day. But you'll notice here, not only it is a surprising day, it is a solemn day. And so we can escape sudden destruction. Destruction is going to come upon this world. Judgment is going to fall. This world is ripe for judgment. And what men and women are doing are piling up judgment against judgment. The cup of God's wrath is filling up. Soon He will pour His judgment out. Notice here what it says at verse 3. "And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction." You see, they don't expect this danger to come. You see, sudden destruction is going to come upon them. Notice it is a sure day. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child." You see, beloved, it is a solemn day. Now you go over to the next epistle, the second epistle to the church of Thessalonica, and look down at verse 6, first of all, "seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Look at verse 8. "Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." You see, there is a sure day. It is a solemn day. That's what we want to get across to the meeting tonight. There's a surprising day, yes. It is a solemn day, the day of the Lord. You can read about it in Joel. You can read about it in Jeremiah and Daniel. And again, we've already mentioned the Lord Jesus speaking in Matthew. You see, beloved, we can escape this judgment. We can escape this awful doom that is coming upon this world. It is a sure day. It is a day of destruction. Do you remember what Peter said? And I like to look at old Peter there because it's very comforting. There's those, you know, and there's not too many like this message. It's not a popular message. It wasn't popular in Noah's day when Noah preached about judgment. Not popular today. But here Peter is talking and about the coming of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3. And he tells us about these false prophets and all rising up. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Notice again the certainty of it. It's a sure day. It's a solemn day. It's a surprising day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Christian, notice the challenge to us. It's a sure day. It's a certain day. It's going to happen. Beloved, notice how we ought to be living. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, my dear friends, do you see the need there to believe the message, to receive the message, and to be ready? The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. My dear friends, there weren't many people ready for the flood. There weren't many people ready in the day of Lot. My dear friends, I believe tonight, and you know, that there are not many people ready for the coming of the Lord. That's our task, to get people ready. Let me put it to the meeting again, as plainly and as simply as I know how. Are you personally ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you personally ready to meet him? For without exception, we are going to meet the Lord. It is a solemn day. My dear friends, it is a sure day. And we can expect a surprising day. We can expect sudden destruction. But praise God, we can endure surrounding darkness. This is a dark day. And the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians here that it would be the surrounding darkness. Look at chapter 5 and verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness. We are not like those that don't believe in the coming. But the devil has alluded to us and has us allured that we think that it will not just happen now. It's a long way off, and that's how the devil works. And we're not ignorant of his devices. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief in the night. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. My dear friends, there's a darkness across the world. There's a gross darkness tonight. And darkness has engulfed Protestant Ulster. I say tonight from this pulpit that it is a dark day morally, it's a dark day spiritually in our land. How many people have morals of any real standard today? Anything at all passes even among the Lord's people. There's things mentioned with the Christian today that years when I was a boy wasn't mentioned among the ungodly. It ought not to be so. We live in an age when another gospel is preached. We're told about a God of love. Of course he's a God of love, but he's a holy God. He's a just God. And men are told that God loves them too much to send them to a lost eternity. Across our land there's a message preached, conditional immortality. Simply means heaven and no hell. I say to you men, were you ever at a funeral of an unsaved man? The apostate preacher, and even evangelical preachers, they bury them all in the sure and certain hope of the glorious resurrection. There's those that preach conditional immortality. There's others that preach the fatherhood, the universal fatherhood of God, which they mean that God is the Father of us all. We're all children of heaven. We're all on our way to heaven, on our way to home. My dear friends, we live in an age when men think they can get into heaven with their sins. Even there's some that profess the Lord's name. They're walking with the world in one hand and trying to walk with the Lord in the other hand. They have salvation and they've made a profession like a sort of fire insurance. They think they can live as they like, do what they like, say what they like. My dear friends, our God is a holy God, and nothing that defileth shall enter therein. It behoves each one of us tonight to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith, and make dead on certain that we are ready to meet the Lord, for we will meet Him. We will most certainly meet Him. And it's my earnest prayer that none from this church and from any of our churches will meet the Lord unprepared. My dear friends, in this day of darkness, what can the Christian do? We can endure surrounding darkness. That's what I'm saying. And notice three things there very quickly. What should we be doing? Notice, first of all, we are to be aware. Notice he says, verse 6, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. We are to be aware. We are to speak up. We are to wake up. We are to get up. Look at verses 6 and 7. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, and watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Notice there we are to be aware, we're to speak up, we're to stand up. You'll notice there we are to wake up, we are to get up, and then you'll notice we are to be alert, we are to dress up. Verse 8, and let us who are of the day, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. What is he saying? He's saying, men and women, have your heart right. Have your head right. Notice, put on the breastplate and the helmet of salvation. We need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. My dear friends, so we're learning tonight. We can expect a surprising day. We can escape sudden destruction. While destruction is coming, praise God, we can escape it. We can endure surrounding darkness. We can experience sure deliverance. That's the thrust of our message. Oh, tonight, may the Lord bring it home to our hearts. Notice what Paul says in verses 9 through to 11. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, look at that, beloved, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. You see, when the Lord comes, there'll be many believers who are dead and their body in the grave. Others will be alive. Notice what he says. Whether we're alive, whether we're awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify. Build up one another even as also you do. See, there's a great fellowship in that church. One Christian help the other. Remember what Paul said in chapter 4. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Christian, we should be longing for his coming. We should be living for His coming. We should be looking for His coming. I ask you again, Christian tonight, are you ready to meet the Lord? Is everything in order in your home? Is everything in order in this church? We are going to meet the Lord. My dear friends, tonight it's possible there's those in the meeting who are not ready to meet the Lord. And that tonight is our prayer, our desire, that men and women in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, each one without exception, will be ready to meet the Lord Jesus. Christ wants His people. Oh, it's the same Jesus who came the first time will come the second time. And remember, He was on time. He was never late. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. He will come the second time. He will be on time. It will be a wonderful day when the Lord comes. I like the way John puts it there in his writing. He tells us about that day coming. 1 John 2 and verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Is that how it is tonight? We have confidence. We're ready for the Lord's coming. Christ wants a people to be ready. John was entrusted with the message to prepare a people for his first coming. That's how it was in the East in those days. Someone important was coming. A herald would go before. He would make the announcement. And so John was the forerunner. He would say, Christ is coming. Behold the Lamb of God. My dear friends, this book is all about someone coming. He has come the first time. He has gone away. We're in the period of his absence. But he's coming again. Oh, glorious day. I say to you tonight personally. Oh, still, I pray the Holy Ghost was saying to you and challenging your heart right now. Are you ready to meet the Lord? All men, without exception, all women, all boys and all girls will meet the Lord. And they'll meet him either as Savior or as Judge. And so it's our task, as God gives us help, to prepare a people to meet the Lord. I ask you again, are you ready to meet the Lord? I pray that you will. The way to get prepared, the way to get ready, is by turning from sin and asking the Lord Jesus. Many years ago, in the city of Glasgow, remember there was those great tenement buildings? There was a preacher and a little girl, badly dressed and poor clothing, came and rapped at his door late at night. And she said, Preacher, you must come to our house. You must get Mummy in. And he said, I don't understand. She says, come with me. And she took him through the streets of Glasgow to this great tenement building and went in there. And in the darkness, there was a little hovel. There was a woman lying, and she was very ill. And the minister got down on his knees and started to speak to her. And he read with her. And then the light dawned upon him and dawned upon her that the necessity of personal salvation was to turn from sin, not the church, not communion, but Christ and Christ alone. And the woman got gloriously saved. And so did the minister. He was coming out from the room and the wee girl said, Sir, did you get Mummy in? Did you get her in? He says, Yes, my little girl. I got her in. And I got in with her. I'm in the rock of safety. I'm in the ark of salvation. Men and women, our meeting is over. We're about to go out the door. Are you in Christ? Or are you out of Christ? Let me put it again to you. Are you ready to meet the Lord? The thrust of our meeting tonight is to get people prepared to meet Jesus Christ. I pray that each of us will meet him as our Savior and meet him as our Lord. May God bless you and make you a blessing. Let's sing together tonight that lovely hymn.